This program is brought to you by Bible Way Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Join us now as we go to the live broadcast of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us in another live episode of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast, episode 222, Grace Teaches Us to Live Godly, Live Righteously. The spiritual appetizer we will be using in this episode is from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Church, we need to remember that grace is not permission to sin. As a matter of fact, it teaches us how to avoid sin and live godly, live righteously. Read with me now, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." And so grace teaches us certain things. It teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And then it teaches us how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Today we're going to look at living righteously. How does grace teach us to live righteously? Jesus Christ left heaven, came to this world to live, to suffer, to bleed, and to die. According to Philippians, he was equal with God when he was in heaven. And then he chose to empty himself and take on the form of a bondservant and come here. In choosing this, he chose to humble himself to the Father. And when he did, John chapter 8 and verse 29 tells us that he always did those things that were pleasing to the Father. And so if Jesus came here, and he always spoke those things that God would have him to speak, and he always did those things in which God wanted him to do, and he is to be our example. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul said, "Follow after me as I follow after Christ." And that's the grace that God showed us and gave us. Then it would stand to reason that if we truly believe that God loves us and sent his Son to die for us, that we would live the way that Jesus lives and live righteously right before him. So let's take a look at this and what the scripture has to say about this. Turn your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 21 and let's read verse 21. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 21. "He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness and honor." He who follows righteousness. We have to follow after righteousness. And Jesus is righteous. He's the only one that ever lived a perfect life here on earth. He followed the Father's rules and laws perfectly so that he could be our propitiation, so that he could be the sacrifice for our sins. And so we are to follow after him. Again, Paul said, "Follow after me as I follow after Christ." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except by me." If we're going to follow righteousness, we've got to go to the Father through Christ. He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except by me. Finds life, righteousness, and honor. We have to follow after Christ in order to find life, righteousness, and honor, because that's how he lived. He lived a life in service to God, every aspect of his life. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." And so Jesus did not come to be served. He did not come to be a physical worldly king that everybody around was going to physically and worldly follow. He came to be a spiritual king following the Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was about to be crucified, he prayed three times that the cup might be removed from him. But his conclusion was, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thine wills." And so he gave up his will for God's. He followed after righteousness and being right with God. And that's the way that we are supposed to live today. We are supposed to give ourselves up. Romans chapter 12 says, "Present yourselves as a living sacrifice." Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul said, "I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yea, not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And so Paul said, "I've been crucified." And when we were baptized, according to Romans chapter 6, 1 through 7, we were crucified. We gave our lives up. We presented it as a living sacrifice to God and said, "We're going to live the way that you want me to live." And you see, that's what righteousness is. Righteousness is being right in the sight of God, following God's word exactly the way that he wants it to be followed. Now, we're not going to do that perfectly. And so we're not going to be righteous because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that should be our goal, is following after the one that is righteous. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's read verses 14 through 22. "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like a cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." You see, that would be righteousness right there, departing from iniquity. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor." We have to cleanse ourselves from sin. We have to get away from sin. Verse 21, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." And then notice with me, verse 22, "Flee also youthful lust. Pursue righteousness." It's when we flee youthful lust, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and pursue righteousness, that we find faith, peace with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. And so we have to pursue after righteousness. We have to go after it. Even though we are not going to ever perfectly obtain it, it's something that we have to do. And in the context of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 22, we find that study is how we pursue righteousness. Rightly dividing the word of God is how we pursue righteousness. Shunning profane and idle babblings is how we pursue righteousness. Increasing in godliness is how we pursue righteousness. And staying away from those things that would cause us to decrease in godliness. Because those things spread like a cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus understood this, and they still pursued it. We have to stay away from it. We have to look to the truth, and we have to teach the truth. In verse 19 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." That's how he knows that they're his. It's because if you name the name of Christ, Christ is righteous. Christ is the one that lived a perfect life. He stayed away from iniquity perfectly. And if we're going to be his disciples, we need to learn from him how to do this. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 show us at least part of this process. We have to understand the scriptures. If we're going to pursue righteousness, we have to understand the scriptures. When Jesus was tempted, he pursued righteousness. He always looked to the word of God. He said it is written in order to stay away from those things that would pull him away from righteousness. And so he understood the word of God. He said, no, I won't do this because it's written here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, God said through Paul, no temptation has taken man except for that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but with every temptation provide a means of escape that you might be able to bear it. And so if we're going to flee youthful lust, we have to understand the word of God. If we're going to pursue righteousness, we have to know the word of God. And when we do, then we are pursuing to be like Jesus. We're following in the pathway of Jesus. Church, we need to remember that grace is not permission to sin. As a matter of fact, it teaches us how to avoid sin and live godly. Why does grace teach us to avoid sin and live godly? Because Christ is our example, and he is the grace that appeared to all men. And his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, the gospel. And it was him that taught us to stay away from these things. And he gave us his word to teach us how to do so. And so grace teaches us to stay away from sin. It's not permission to sin. Simply because God will forgive us is not permission to go out and live however we want. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church, the pillar and the ground of the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. He wrote to us so that we can know how to pursue righteousness. Matter of fact, he's going to go on again to tell Timothy to flee from sin and pursue righteousness in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. In verse 11, he says this, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness. What was he telling them to flee from? He was telling Timothy, flee from the love of money. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He said, flee from that and pursue righteousness. Pursue being right with God. Being right with God is not something that just spontaneously happens. We have to pursue it. We have to go after it. We have to want to be right with God, or else we are not going to be right with God. We have to be willing to live the way that God wants us to live. If we turn over to Genesis chapter 15, we find a man that was righteous. It was accounted unto him for righteousness. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven, and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall be your descendants. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Why? Because Abraham would go forward with this promise, see it all the way to its conclusion and to its fulfillment when Abraham was given Isaac. And then God would ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, and Isaac would listen to him again, take him up the mountain, and just as the knife was going down so that Abraham could sacrifice Isaac, God would show him a ram and allow him to sacrifice the ram. Abraham believed God all the way to sacrificing Isaac. He was obedient to God in every way. And so that's how we have to be. If we're going to pursue righteousness, we have to listen to God, even when it doesn't make sense to us. Even when God says, sacrifice your own life, we have to be obedient to him. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 22 and 23, this account is told to us in the New Testament. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. And this is talking about Abraham once again. And it says, God did not write that it was accounted to him for righteousness all the way back in Genesis chapter 15, just for Abraham's sake, but for our sakes as well, so that we can learn how to have righteousness accounted to us as well today. If we will be obedient to him, believe God and be obedient to him, then we can have righteousness accounted to us. But we have to live righteously. Church, we need to remember that grace is not permission to sin. As a matter of fact, it teaches us how to avoid sin and live godly, live righteously. Again, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6, this is talked about. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. So he tells us again that Abraham had it accounted to him for righteousness. Why? Because he believed God. Once again in James chapter 2 and verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, we find how important righteousness is. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and the Pharisees, they wanted to live however they wanted. They were not going to listen to God. They were hypocrites. They would tell you to live the way that God wanted you to live, and then they would turn around and they wouldn't live that way themselves. We have to be more than that. We have to understand that grace is not permission to sin. As a matter of fact, it teaches us how to avoid sin and live godly, live righteously. So, as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you. So, as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you.
We thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Way Media by visiting our website, BibleWayMedia.org. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.